Our second 10-minute speaker is Augie.
Hi, my name is Augie. I'm an alcoholic. You did a great job, Courtney. I almost don't need to say anything. She, like, covered everything. That was great. Wow, what a privilege and honor. Thanks, everyone who got up early and cooked that great breakfast and all you guys that were smiling at me when I got here and shaking my hand. That was nice. Yeah, the microphone does make it a little nervous. Let's see. It's a privilege and honor to be asked to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. I never wanted to be here or be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or be an alcoholic. And I'd like to welcome, I'm not sure if I got your name right, I think Guy and Mike, is that right? You know, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I had many introductions to Alcoholics Anonymous, and like I told you, I never wanted to be here, and what I found now, it's like one of the greatest places I can be, because all these people here are just like me. Lately I've been thinking about that. In the book it says outward appearances are not inward reality at all. And, like, you know, I can dress up, I can drive a nice car, have a good job, I know this book really well, I can fascinate you with all these interesting facts that I know about Alcoholics Anonymous in the book and tell you what page it's on and all that kind of stuff, but none of that really matters if what's going on inside is not okay. And one of the things I've been talking to my sponsor about is it's not about knowing everything or trying to look the right way or whatever. You know, it's just a program of action, and it's about doing stuff and about leading by example. And, you know, when I came here, I didn't know how to do really anything. And this program has taught me so much and given me so much. And I'm just forever grateful. And I have a debt of gratitude to Alcoholics Anonymous and the man that was willing to take the time to sit down and shake my hand and show me how to do this and tell me to shut up. And because I was an idiot. I thought I knew everything. I'd been to Alcoholics Anonymous before. I'd managed to not drink for like 6 years and tried working the steps. And the guy told me to sponsor, and I tried to work with these guys, and they got drunk, so I thought I was a bad sponsor. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to try that again. And, you know, today I know that doesn't matter. What matters is I keep doing this. I keep trying to give it away. And, you know, I guess one of our co-founders, Bill W., you know, he was reaching out to lots and lots and lots of guys before he finally found somebody. And I didn't get that. And I hung around people in Alcoholics Anonymous who had been sober 5, 10 years, whatever. And I don't know. Today, I don't know how those people don't drink. But I thought that it didn't matter if I had a home group or if I had a commitment or if I sponsored people. And then I found out maybe I didn't even need to have a sponsor. You know, I could just kind of go to meetings when it was convenient. But then I stopped. You know, I didn't want to hear what my sponsor had to say. I got tired of going to meetings because you guys always say the same things. And, you know, I think I heard that before. I don't know. But I wasn't listening. I didn't realize I needed to hear that stuff. So I got too busy. You know, I was too busy for Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I know today is if I'm too busy for Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm too busy for the God that's given me this life to live. And that's kind of a scary thing, you know, like, okay, you know, here you go. Here's a gift. And then, can you help me? No, sorry, I'm busy. You know, I don't want to, and I know that today, and that's my truth, and that's why I have a debt of gratitude. Anyways, you know, I hung around with all these people. I had a lot of bad examples, and I did a whole lot of nothing, and figured this didn't work because I wasn't really doing it. And I got to go to prison and got to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to my first meeting in a like a funny farm kind of place where I hadn't been sleeping too much and been drinking a lot and was shaking and freaked out. So my mom got me into this place, and I was like 19, and I was like, nah, I'm too old, you know, I'm too old, I'm not old enough. You guys are too old, you know, I'm just 19, I haven't even drank in a bar yet or anything like that. So, you know, that was like my first little thing, and then I'd always come up with these reasons. And so finally, you know, when the judge and the DA told me I was unfit to live in society, I was a threat to myself and to other people, and I had no skills. When they told me that stuff, it kind of made me swallow hard, and I found myself in jail talking to these guys. It was my first time. I found myself talking to these guys about, they'd be saying they'd been in and out and in and out, and I'd be like, well, wow, dude, you got a drug problem or you drink a lot. Have you ever tried, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous? And And then after like talking to these people for a while, I started realizing, hey, you know, when I first started doing that stuff, I was feeling really good and I wasn't going to places like this. And so when I got to prison, I was looking forward to going to these meetings, and I talked to some people and was starting to get jazzed about God and stuff and was open-minded. And I met this crusty old guy, and he had a big handlebar mustache, and he was sitting at the front of the room. And you know, I went to my first, you know, I thought when I was in prison, I was going to have to like sharpen a toothbrush and stab somebody or something like that. And it was, you know, I was trying to fit in. So I was at this meeting and I raised my hand and said some stuff that I remembered or something. I don't know. And like the guy knew I was full of shit. And he was like, hey, you know, are you going to get a sponsor? And so I was like, okay, how about you? And, you know, he told me to meet him the next day. I met him every day at 8 o'clock. He told me to, you know, read this part of the book, read that part. And so every day we met and we read the book and we worked through the steps in about 2 weeks. And, you know, what a neat experience that was. This guy showed me what Alcoholics Anonymous was, where it came from. And like, he showed me how to reach out to people and shake their hand at the door. Because, you know, if people come in and we just let them sit in the back and we don't talk to them, then they're going to feel like they don't belong here. And that's why I have a debt of gratitude, because that guy was, you know, he met me there. He shook my hand and he showed me around and showed me what we do. So if, you know, if we don't show these people what to do, then they're going to think it doesn't work or they're not going to know what it's really all about. So he showed me how to do that. And what I learned is you could meet a guy at the door and say, hey, I'm your sponsor. Here's the book. Read this. We'll meet tomorrow and we'll go over it. They don't know. A lot of them will do it. And so this guy taught me how to be a sponsor. He taught me how to give this program away. And nobody ever showed me that before. And so when I started working, I was working with these guys. And then the guys I was working with, they were working with guys. It was funny because some of the guys that came into the meetings knew who we were. If they saw us, you know, walking down the yard, they'd turn and go the other way because they knew we had the book in our pocket. They're like, oh, get away from that guy. But this curious thing happened. One day I was going to a meeting, and I came out of my cell, and I was walking, and could see the mountains with snow on the top. I was in the Nevada desert, and I had this overwhelming feeling of joy and comfort and gratitude and happiness, and I felt like I was floating, and it was weird. I never felt like that. I occasionally have moments like that, but it was profound at that moment. And I thought something was wrong. I thought maybe I was bipolar and I needed medication. So I asked my sponsor, and he was like, he laughed at me, and which my sponsor today laughs at me a lot too. So he showed me, you know, remember that spiritual experience appendix in the back, and you know it says he finally realizes he's undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. And so what I realized was, whoa, if I do this stuff, like I'm not going to be overwhelmed by all this stuff that really doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to be able to live in joy and experience happiness. And it was really cool. And the way it happened was I was working with these guys and they were working with guys, and I could see that God was working in their lives. And then I started to see God work in my life. And that's how I came to believe in a power greater than myself. And you know what an amazing thing is. And I knew from that point that if I kept doing what this guy showed me to do, that my life was going to be great, you know. And when I was like 10 or 11 years old, I started drinking with my dad, and he wasn't around very often. And then my mom started letting me see him, and you know, my dad told me as long as I never used a needle that I would be okay. And, you know, he also told me, like, don't get mad, get even. And so I had a lot of wacky stuff in my brain, you know, and that's another thing, you know, I can't solve my problems with the thing that created it. And, you know, my brain has some weird stuff. And so I got to keep in contact with this sponsor, and I got to keep working with these new guys. And I got to keep coming to meetings because Alcoholics Anonymous is louder than my head. So if I can sit in here and meditate and listen to you guys, then it quiets me down enough to hear what I need to hear. And I'll just read this one thing and shut up. Thanks again. You know, this is cool. This is a really neat meeting. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world no matter what your present circumstances. And, you know, I never thought my life was going to be this good. You know, 5 years ago, I was locked in a prison, in a cell. And today you wouldn't even know it if you know if you just met me. You wouldn't know it unless I told you. And you know, I'm forever grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.